The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you for everything. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for, you're a wonderful God. You're a good God. We recognize what you're doing amongst us. Our hearts are open. And we have perfect understanding into the facts of redemption in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to three persons. Say welcome to church. Come on quickly. On the three persons. Say you're welcome to church. Hallelujah. Be seated where you are. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Wow, it's good to see us today. Okay. Well, without wasting our time, we're going to be very fast with what we want to share this morning. Any place we'll stop today, we'll stop. But I'd like you to open your ears. I'm starting a series today, something I hope we can tidy up by next week. Okay, I'm looking at what we call recognizing divine leading. I say it again. Recognizing divine leading. The leading of God, the leading of the Spirit. One of the greatest problems believers have most times is the leadings of God, or how to be led by the Spirit. So you hear people say things like, how am I sure what God wants me to do? We want the leading of God in our relationships. We want to be sure that we are dating the right person. We want to be sure that we are doing the right job. We want to be sure that the next step we are about to take is the right step. We just want to be sure. And this has led a lot of believers into a lot of dilemmas. Some people are on the mountain. I said, if you go to the mountain today, I'm meeting people praying, 70 to 80% of them are up there looking for one thing. The leading of God. The second thing is power. You get me? Many people are up there want to know, what does God want me to do? So whether you like it or not, we all want to be sure that God is leading us. We all want to be sure that we are taking the right step. So if you are interested in knowing how to know, and let me tell you, it is the right of every believer to be led by the Spirit. It's the right of every believer to know that God is leading him. And so if you are interested in knowing how to recognize the leading of God, then I'd like you to listen to me this morning. Okay, you can make it better. How to listen to me this morning. Now, I'm going to start with something. There is a promise of guidance in the Bible. Look at Psalm 32. Let me show you. God himself promised that he would lead us. In Psalm 32, verse 8, okay, the Bible said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eyes. So God is promising that he will guide you. And so God does not expect us to be without guidance. In Psalm 37, the Bible said, he orders the footsteps of the righteous. And so there is a promise of guidance that we'll find in the Bible. And so the believer should not live his life without guidance. And you know something about life? No matter how you want to claim or how you want to pretend, we all want divine guidance, true or false. We all want to, let me show you something. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Let me show you. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Are we there? Come on. Are we there? Verse 23. Now look at what it says. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. He said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in man to direct himself, his steps. It is not in man. Man, you cannot lead yourself. You get it? But no matter how you want to claim that you are intelligent, there will always come a time when you will want the leadership of a higher being. I think I'm talking about. Somehow, we just want the leadership of a higher being to direct what we're doing. So he said, man cannot direct himself. It is not in man. This is now quite very low. Can it be better? It is not in man to direct himself. Now look at how the New Living Translation puts it. Jeremiah 10 verse 11. Let me read from this translation. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. Now, okay. Yes, we are there. Now, it says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. Man is not able to direct himself. So you know, there will always come a time. So for some of us, it's when we want to get into school. How many of you had that issue when you wanted to go into school? Maybe you're already born again before you enter school. You're wondering which university does God want me to go to? Okay, how does God want to? So if you're interested in having proper guidance, I'd like you to listen to me this morning. Hallelujah. Let's start. Romans 8 verse 14, quickly. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. The leadings of God. Recognizing the leadings of God. Romans 8 verse 14. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit. What are they? The sons of God. I want you to listen to me because that is a wrong way to interpret this verse. Many of us, what we read into that verse is that before you become a son of God, you get the point? You have to be led by the Spirit. And so if you are here and you are not led by the Spirit, they are not a son of God. That's not what that verse is saying. Actually, the word to be led, as many as are led, in the Greek, is the Greek word ago, A-G-O. A-G-O, ago. It actually means, not ago, I know what I'm pronouncing, don't think, I know what I'm saying. A-G-O, ago. It actually is not English, okay? It actually means to be carried, to be born, to be brought to, it means to be brought forth. So it means as many as are brought forth by the Spirit, or are carried, or as many as are born by the Spirit, are sons of God. That verse is not talking about as many as the Spirit is just directing their lives one after another. We are sons of God. And because we are sons of God, we are born of God. That's why if you now check verse 15, it now says talking about that we can call God Abba Father. Did you observe that? That verse 14 is talking about being born of the Spirit. And that's who we are. And so when the Bible talks about the leading of the Spirit, the Bible does not explain it like something the believer does not have. Okay, let me put it in simple English for you. As many as are led by the Spirit, what are they? So, what is, all sons of God are led by the Spirit. That's what he was trying to say. He's not saying, if you want to become a son of God, or you'll be led by the Spirit. No, he's saying, all sons of God are led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. If you're a son of God, you are led by the Spirit. Do you understand me? So, actually, there is no believer that does not have the leading of the Spirit. That's the first part I want to make today. There is no believer. Because many believers have said, Father, lead me. No, that's the wrong prayer point. Every believer has the leading of the Spirit in his heart. That's the first step. Because that's what many of us do not know. We are busy looking for God. You know, just like people are busy on the mountain looking for God. Looking for a God that lives inside of them. That's what I'm saying. Every believer has the leading of the Spirit in his heart. So we say there is a leading of the Spirit in my heart. So when you say there is a leading of the Spirit in my heart. So we are not, we do not lack the leading of the Spirit. So the wrong prayer to pray for the believer is, oh Lord, lead me. That's the wrong prayer. Once you're a child of God, he has placed his leading in your heart. In 1 Corinthians 17, he said, whosoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So your spirit and the spirit of Jesus are the same. So it's not like you are here and God is out there and he's directing your steps. No, God lives inside of you. So because he's living inside of you, his leading is inside of you. Are you getting the point? The leading of God is not like I'm in Abuja and you're in Enugu and you're asking for direction. And I'm saying, where are you now? He said, I'm standing at Holy Ghost. Okay, turn right. Can you see a building by your... That's not the leading of God. You get the point? Can you see a building? Okay, now, get a bus. Enter the bus. Start moving. I am not there with you. I'm directing you. That is what God did for the Old Testament guys. Because he was not living inside of them. He was directing them. But today, God lives in you. So it's not like he's out there and you are here. He leads, so his leading is in your heart. I know what I'm talking about. And so there is no believer, that's basically no, there is no believer that lacks the leading of the Spirit. Why do I always start with this? Because actually one of the games of the devil is to make you to doubt what you have and make you to start searching endlessly for what you have. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible said, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible said that God made man in his image. In the image of God created he them, male and female made he them. So man was made in God's image. But then Satan came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and said, you are not in God's image. If you eat this fruit, you will now be like God. That's the game of the devil. He brings what God has given you, makes you believe you don't have it, and tells you what you have to do to have what you already have. Do you know what I say now? Still have the leading of the Spirit. So people are out there saying, God, I want you to lead me. And it looks like God is on, God is our GPS. You know, we're just with him on our phone and we're looking at it. It means he's not inside of us, he's outside. No, that's not God. That the leading of God is that he has indwelt us and he leads us from within. So one thing you must know before we start this series is that in you is the leading of God. So listen, what we are learning in these 2 weeks, it's not actually how to be led by the Spirit, no. What you are learning is how to recognize that leading. So the problem of believers is not that they are not led. They don't know how to recognize that leading in their heart. Just what I said now. It's not actually how, I'm not teaching you how to, just like people teach believers how to hear God's voice. That's a terrible thing. You don't teach a child how to hear the Father's voice. You can only teach a child that has been away for long how to recognize the voice of the Father. I didn't get the point. It's not, if people say 7 steps to hearing from God, that's nothing like that. That's nothing like that. But people have to learn how to recognize that leading. So that's the leading of God in our hearts. But many of us have not been taught to recognize it. So most times we miss that leading. And we miss that leading not because we are not led by the Spirit, but because we've not been taught how, on how to recognize the leading of God. So that's what I'll try to do in these 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So the first key I'm going to give you, are we on the same page? Do you understand that we are not far from God? Do you understand that God lives inside of you? Do you understand that you are not lacking the leading of God? So all you have to do is to recognize that leading. Let me tell you what it is like. It's like in here, okay, and I say, everybody starts talking. Let's say your mother is here, and there are 100 women here. One of them is your mom, and everybody starts talking. Back, everybody's just talking. Okay? You have to know your mom very well. You know your mom very well. Somehow, in the midst of the crowd, you can pick her voice. You get the point? You can pick a voice. You know, in this world, your mind is busy. Many things are talking at the same time. You have to be taught on how to pick the voice of God right there in your heart. You get the point? So it's actually how to discern, how to recognize the leading of God, and not actually how to get God to talk to you. When people are praying, Father, speak to me. No. You don't beg your Father to talk to you. Even your earthly father. I get the point? Not talk of a father that now indwells you. So I'm going to show you how to recognize the leading of God. Of which the first step is, you must know, you must know and learn the character of God. Write it down. If you do not know the character of God, you will always miss the leadings of God. In fact, knowing the character of God solves 75% of the problem. I said again, knowing the character of God solves 75% of God in divine leading. Of the problem rather in divine leading. Because most people, when you know the character of God, you can easily tell what God cannot do or what God cannot say. Let me give you an example. First John 4 verse 7 tells us that God is love. How many of you know that God is love? I know God is love. And I know love is love. You get the point? You know love is love. And so if I'm here and I sense a leading in my heart, and that leading in my heart is, what do I say now? To pray. Maybe I just hear it clearly in my right ear now. And that voice said, pray and kill this woman's mother-in-law. I am so sure it's not God. How do you know? I don't even need to pray to find out. I know the character of God. What do I know about God? That God is not a killer. He says, what of those people that used to pray and kill people by fire? I tell you, they kill them by fire. It's not God. He says, can you prove it? Very well, I can. In 1 Kings, the Bible tells us that, 2 Kings rather, that Elijah called down fire from heaven. You know that story? And consumed the first 50, consumed the second 50, and the third 50 came as they're begging. In Luke chapter 9, James and John were now disciples of Elijah. And they told Jesus, you know, that story, Jesus wanted to enter a place for mission work. And the people stopped him from entering. And James and John looked at Jesus. He said, Papa, they fall my hand. If Elijah and I, if we don't show them. Okay, do you want us? They were not even begging Jesus. Relax, Baba, you have trained us well. Do you want us to call down fire on your behalf? Now say Jesus rebuked them. And Jesus told them, you do not know the manner of spirit that you carry. He said, for the Son of Man has not come to condemn men, but to save them. And so that tells you that Jesus disapproves of what Elijah did. See, he cannot be God. He said, so how come the fire came down? That's why I've always taught you in this church that evidence is not the proof of God. I say, the Bible tells us, God told Moses, hit the rock. Moses hit the rock, water came out. The second time God told Moses, speak to the rock. Moses disobeyed and hit the rock, water still came out. Do you get what I'm saying now? So the fact that water is coming, let me get again. God told Moses, hit this rock. If you hit it, water would come out. Moses struck the rock, water came out. The second time God said, don't strike the rock. Talk to the rock. Moses disobeyed God and struck the rock. Yet, water still came out. That tells you that the presence of water does not mean that God is approving of what is happening. Do you get what I said now? So it is, God is love. It is not in his, this is the major problem that we have with the Old Testament guys. Because they did not know God. They did not have a perfect understanding of God. And because of that, they could assume anything as God's leading. I know the character of God. And because I know the character of God, there are some things I am so sure that God cannot lead you to do. That's why when people go for counseling and they start talking, there are some things they say, I don't even need to pray. Once they just say it, I can just say, see, leave that, that's not God. They say, sir, you know, but let me correct something. Write this in your notes. God does not work in mysterious ways. Write it. Because that's where it's come from. He said, who knows what God wants? He works in mysterious ways. I tell you, that I know the way of God. What is the way of God? Jesus said, I am the truth, the way. So the way of God, say, God's ways are higher than us. No, God's way is Christ. Jesus said in John 14, he said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. So if you are looking for who God is, don't look too far. Look at Jesus. Anything you cannot find in Jesus is not God. It doesn't matter who is showing it, it's not God. And so when you know the character of God as revealed in Christ, you have crossed the first hurdle towards knowing divine, recognizing divine leading. In fact, automatically you know what the leading is not. I'm going to show you, let me just show you four things about the character of God. Number one, 1 John 4 verse 7, God is love. That's first thing, God is love. Are you there? God is love. And so if you want to know what God will lead you to do, one of the things you can check is what will love lead me to do? What will love lead me to do? You see, that is one reason why you cannot be doing a business that dupes people and claim that it is God leading you to do that business. Because love will not want you to dupe another person. Do you get the point? There are some things you don't need to pray about, you just know it's there. So when you are established on the character of God, it has solved the major problem in knowing God's will for you. Hallelujah. Let me give another example of the character of God. 1 John 1 verse 5. 1 John 1 verse 5. Notice in 1 John 4, he did not say God loves. He said God is love. So love is God and God is love. Do you get the point now? So when you want to know what God will do, that's why, you know, that is why you see people. I've seen people tell me, sir, this sickness that I'm suffering now is God that gave it to me. He gave it to me to teach me a lesson. He told me. I am so sure it's the devil talking to you. Why? I don't need to pray. I know what God cannot do. The ways of God are not past finding out. His ways were past finding out in the Old Testament. Now we know his way. Jesus said to Thomas, if you see me, you have seen the Father. Please get what I'm talking about at all. In John chapter 1 verse 18, I'm just quoting different scriptures. Jesus said something. John said, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, he has revealed him. So it was Jesus that revealed God to us. So we say, I know God. Come on, like when you say, I know God. So we know God because we've known Christ. When you look at Christ, you see what God is. So God is not a mysterious being. God has been revealed in Christ. I get what I'm saying. God was a mystery in the Old Testament. Notice I did not say he was mysterious. He was just a mystery. When something is a mystery, it doesn't mean that thing is unknowable. It just means you don't know it yet. Do you get the point? That's why some of you, there's a sense with on the character of God, but we'll come back to it again. You know, people normally say, the Bible said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. That scripture is not for you. So eyes have not seen what God has prepared for me. It's not for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul quoted it. Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So those things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard have been revealed to us in Christ. Come on, say, Miss, I know God. You need to know God. You know him. Look at 1 John 1 verse 5. So first of all, we see that God is love. Secondly, we see in verse 5, okay, he said, this then is the message you have heard of him. This is, you know, there are not two messages. This is the message. The message. It's not two. Are you getting me? What is that message? That God is what? Is light. And in him is what? No darkness. That's what you are missing one word. What is it? At all. It means you cannot find one string of darkness in God. So if you are looking for the kind of things God does, he doesn't do things associated with darkness. That's why there are things God cannot tell you to do. There are things you hear in your heart where you know the character of God. You are so sure it's not God. Even when we interpret dreams, there are things you just know, and there are some dreams you see, you just smile and throw them off. Because you just know it's not God. That cannot be the leading of God. Are you getting me? That's why there are things that some prophets will tell you. If you know the character of God, you just know that this is not God talking. I'm not saying the prophet is a witch. I'm not saying the prophet is not of God. I just said that one he said is not God. Are you what I'm saying? You must be able to know that God is light, and in God is no darkness. No darkness at all. If I let me show you this, God can never, this may confuse you, but let me just say, God can never and has never done anything bad in his life. How many of you know? God can never, he has never. He said, what of when the ground opened and swallowed people? God can never do evil. And one day, I told you now, remember I told you, some of you that used to miss our Thursday services, this is the time he's going to pay you. Because from next month, I'm going to start a series on Thursdays. That series is titled The Wrath of God. Remember I told you? The wrath of God. I'll be explaining to you what, I'll explain all those things you see in the Old Testament. How come fire, God sends down fire? Like I was telling you guys on Thursday, when you don't know God, it's very easy to become an atheist. Because you will have many questions that people cannot answer. How can I be serving a God who woke up one morning and sends down fire and burns down an entire city? And yet he says he's a good God. Are you know what I'm talking about? It is to be in the character of God. Somebody told me, he was proving to me that he's an atheist. I said, wow. I was trying to prove to him that he's not an atheist. I told him, you're not doubting the existence of God. You just don't like God. You just don't like the God they presented to you. You understand the point? And that's because we've not learned the character of God. Because the guy told me, says, see now, God woke up one day and tell the Israelites to go and clear an entire nation. And he says he's God. To go and kill, that's genocide. Is that not true? That's genocide. and I told him, I said, that is not God. He said, so who did it? I said, come for Bible study. You need to know the character of God. So why there might be many questions you might not have answers to, which we'll provide answers to later, just keep it somewhere in your head that God is good. You know what I said? God is good. He is too good. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 13. He said, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of who? Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So God does not tempt anybody with evil. Are you getting the point? So you cannot have evil in your life and claim it is God. Somebody said, you know, I was sick and I just heard a voice in my heart. Endure it. I'm passing you through this process to teach you a lesson. That's nonsense. I can tell you it's not God. The leadings of God are not far-fetched. When you know the character of God, you are very close to knowing his leadings. I know what I'm talking about. So endure it. I'm passing you through this to teach you a lesson. And whenever you hear that, ask yourself a question. Jesus said, will your son ask you for a bread and you give him stone? Listen, he said, can he ask you for fish and you give him snake? He said, if you being evil, he called you evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? He's not saying God is like you. He's saying God is much more kind than you. And so if you cannot give your brother or your sister or your daughter cancer to teach him a lesson, just a small lesson, what makes you think that God can allow you to have cancer that you learn lesson? You know, it's just like you bring a small child to the main road. He said, I'm going to teach you something today. I'm going to teach you not to cross the road without looking. So you push the child into the road. And then a car hits him. And he breaks his leg. And you say, well, that's for you to know. That anytime you want to cross the road, you have to look. Is that how parents behave? Nobody's like that. So God cannot be like that. If you want to teach your child, what do? You tell him. If God wants to correct you, he will tell you. God does not correct with acts. He corrects with his word. I know what I'm talking about. It's his word. And so you must know. He said, let no man say when he's tempted that he's been tempted of God. Because God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither can he tempt any man with evil. God cannot tempt any man with evil. Look at verse 17 of that John. Of that James, rather. James 1. What did he say? Let's read together if I'm 17, because we're going to echo it like a mass choir. James 1:17. Are we there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is what? No variableness in that shadow of turning. God gives good and perfect gifts. And there is no turning, no shadow of turning from this good and perfect gifts. We serve a good God. Are you getting the point? He will give you good and perfect gifts. So if you want to know the leading of God, the first step is to know the character of God. When you know his character, you know what his leading cannot be. You know, there was a scripture I posted recently. That's Psalm 119 verse 68. He said God is good. I wanted to open it. We're going to do something. So 119:68, we're going to read it to like 4 or 5 translations. Because this is a major step in knowing what God wants you to do. Let me give an example about the goodness of God. How many of you know God doesn't want you to be poor? How many of you know that? You don't know. I'm telling you. I'm not saying Jesus died for you to have money, no. I'm only saying God in his goodness will not want you to be poor. Say amen to that. And so he cannot lead you in some ways. He can't. And when you know this, you can learn to trust the leading of God. That he will lead you to a good destination. Are you getting the point? And so, point is, okay, Psalm 119. So there are some leadings you hear in your heart. You can just tell that this is not God. Okay, this might be anything. It might be my flesh. Or rather, even if this is God, then there is something I'm not getting from this yet. But I know the leading of God cannot be bad. I'm in Psalm 119 verse 68. Who has King James? Read with King James where you are. 68, yeah? Come on, let me hear you speak louder. He said, thou art good and doest good. Look at how NLT put it. NLT said, you are good and do only good. Look at that. He said, God is good and he does what? Only good. And so if you want to learn how to recognize the leading of God, first of all, be assured of what the character of God is. That way, there are things you hear, you just know that it's not God. And so, God is not mysterious. God's ways are found in Christ. Hallelujah. I think that's very clear. Now, the second step in recognizing the leading of God in your heart, apart from knowing the character of God, you must, for yourself, know the word. For yourself. Write it down. You must know the word. You know, most times you are praying over things, trying to get the leading of God over some issues, because we do not know what the word of God has said over those issues. The leadings of God cannot contradict the word of God. And so there are some things you are praying over. If only you knew the word, you will not pray over them. You already know what the word of God is saying. Look at Romans chapter 12. Let me show you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? That you may prove what? That which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how will you be able to prove? That word prove in that verse is the Greek word dokimazo. It means to discern, to recognize. How will you be able to recognize the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? By renewing your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the word of God. So when you renew your mind with the word of God, you can learn to discern the will of God. And listen, let me tell you. That verse, everybody listen, that verse is not saying that there is a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God. That's not what it's saying. It's just describing the same thing. What is good, acceptable, and perfect is the same thing. There is no good, acceptable, and perfect will. Are you getting me? People say that it's permissive will of God. Permissive will of God is that you have walked out of the will of God. And what it means is that he will not kill you. He will just let you be. Because you are his son. And when you turn your back, he's still there. Do you understand the point? Nothing like permissive will. You are either in the will of God or you are not. Are you getting me? But how do you prove what is the will of God? He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when you expose your heart to the word of God so much, you will be able to know what the leading of God is. I'll still get to how to pick it in your heart, but I want to lay some key foundations. The character of God and knowing the word of God. Let me give the normal example I normally give when it comes to this is about marriage. Most times when you are with a guy and you are praying, Father, is it your will? Is it not your will? Most times, you should have known what God has said concerning marriage before you start praying. Should I give an example? If you're a believer here and the guy you're dating is an unserious Christian or is an unbeliever, I know what God is saying. God is saying, leave him alone. Sister, can you prove it? Yes. Do not be unequally yoked. So what are you praying for? You want to hear what you want to hear. You don't want to hear what God is saying. You want him to say what you want to hear. Some things are not far-fetched. I'm telling you the truth. It's just like someone starts a business. Napping business. You know napping? Napping. Kidnapping. Can be kidnapping. It can be man-napping. It can be woman-napping. It's just napping. You just start that business and you begin to pray, Father, direct my step and my sister. Just calm down. God cannot lead you against his word. And so before you start looking for what is the will, why don't you know? Sometimes when you know the word of God, you solve the major problem for yourself in knowing what God will have you do. When someone hurts you and you are praying, Father, what should I do? I know what you should do. Forgive the person. Some things are not, some things don't need prayer points. Are you getting the point? Some things are so clear in the word. And so before you start praying, let me give an example. A woman, some women come to me, you know, when they lose their husbands, okay? And they come and say, sir, they're saying I should shave my hair. should I, you know, this is, I'm telling you, this is an issue I handle. Should I shave my hair, you know, to mourn your husband? What's the answer to that? Let me know. What do you think? What will God want her to do? Now I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is nothing. The answer is you can shave it if you want to. If you don't want to, don't shave it. None of them is sinful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if I'm married, I'm going to warn my wife. If I die, let no scissors cross your hair. But before she starts, I said, it's not a prayer point. The Bible is so clear on some of these things. Just like, so you should know, if you want to shave it, it's your business. If you don't want to shave it, it's your business. So, some things you pray about, if you know the stand, the place, where the word stands, you already know the answer. Are you getting the point? So, before we start praying, let us know the character of God. Let us know what the word of God says. When you know it, it has saved you a lot of stress. Because I know many of us, the question, many of us are young. Marriage is there in our hearts. That's why I have a teaching on pastoral counsel on relationship. And by the end of this month, I'm going to be teaching on relationship and marriage. But even before I get there to start talking about it, you should be able to know what God has for you. Let me give an example. I am a pastor. I'm not just a pastor. I'm a committed believer. I love my spiritual life. And so if there is somebody around me who is playing with you to a spiritual life, either I will not date you at all or I will not date you now till you become serious. I don't even need to pray about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't say, Father, but sir, can't God lead me? Are you saying God, are you saying I cannot change the person? Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm only saying you did not change yourself. And you are not assistant to Holy Spirit. You get the point? It's a different thing that you already married, but the person you got married to is not saved. You've already made the mistake. The Bible provides a solution to such things. He said you should love the person. He said let your good conduct be there. Perhaps you can change the person. I don't even get the point. But it is now foolishness for you as a single to open your eyes and walk into a shrine and hope that one day to become a church. Are you getting me? And he says, but I just have peace in my heart. Sister, you will have peace because you love him. Forget the peace. You know, I just feel peaceful. If I even saw a dream. Next week, I'm going to talk about dreams. He said, I even saw a dream. And in that dream, I was inside a pit. I was calling for people to bring me out. You know, somebody saw me recently. Somebody to come to me and say she saw a revelation. And in that her revelation, I was asking her out. Calm down. Listen. And I was asking her out. And that there was another guy, there were two, asking her out. And then she was confused in the dream. Listen to me. And right there in the dream, she went to ask her sister who she was going to follow. And her sister told her to follow me. And I told her, you know, I told her I know the meaning of the revelation. She said, do you do? I said, I do. I said, the Lord is saying I should be your spiritual father. You know, that's the problem because, you know, when you're, that's why, I said, the Lord is saying, she said, are you serious? I said, yes. I didn't see her again from then anyway. She left. I interpreted her dream. Hallelujah. But I know what the word of God has to say. And so sometimes I'll begin to pray and do a lot of things. Just like I was talking about dealing with the sojourners. You get into your marriage, you are having issues with your husband, and you want God to lead you on what to do. The first thing God is going to lead you is already found in the Bible. First of all, you must submit to him. Some things are very clear, spelled out in the word. Now you're a man, you have a wife. Okay, you want God to lead you. God has led you. Husbands, love your wife. Are you getting me? So before you start praying, settle some things in your heart first. I don't know what I'm talking about relationship this morning. But it can be any other thing. There is a deal. You're a businessman. There's a deal on your table that you want to sign. If it is a corrupt thing, don't do it. Don't even pray for God to lead you. God has led you. In Ephesians 4:28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. So what are you praying for? So God will say, you think God is double-faced. He will say something by his word and say another thing by his spirit. No, that's not God. Are you getting me? Because the word of God is the spirit of God. I hope you know. They're not too different. They're not fighting. Don't try to clash them. There's no clash anywhere. So I know the word. Hallelujah. And so sometimes it's good for us to know what the word of God has to say. And then, so when you know the character of God and you learn the word of God, it already helps you to see to a great extent what the leading of God is not. I did not say it will automatically show you the leading of God, but it will at least show you what that leading is not. So that is something I will sense in my heart immediately. I know this cannot be God. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm going to encourage you before I continue. If you can and you should expose your heart to learning the word. Be in a good church. And when you're in a good church, be there at all times. The man of God said, be there whenever the doors of the church open. Be there to learn the word. Be there. When you get back, when we are done, collect messages on your phone. Learn the word properly. It will solve a lot of issues for you. For instance, many people are on the mountain trying to be led by the Spirit. Do you know when we are done with this teaching, you will just find out automatically that at every point in time, you know what to do. And it's just the word that we're supposed to eat. But when you don't know what the word has to say, you end up saying a lot of things. Just like I was saying last week, I'm going to say it again. I know it's going to, okay, last 2 weeks, rather. It's going to annoy some of you, but I'm going to say it. Just like I was saying last 2 weeks, people say God has called me to take over the fashion industry. But the Bible never teaches anything like that. You only feel there is such a leading because you don't know the word. God may want you to become a tailor. A great tailor. God may want you to become a designer bigger than Armani. Hallelujah. And it's not a sin. But to think that is God's calling upon your life is a lie. God may want you to become a politician or a cook. I told you, if you can have, you know, it will say, you know, I'm going to annoy some of you. You say, I'm a gospel comedian. Will you stop that? There's nobody like that. He does not exist. If we can have a gospel comedian, then we can have a gospel wrestler too. Someone that wrestles by the Spirit. We can have a gospel football player. He plays by the Spirit. His name is Lionel Messi. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can have a gospel football team. That team is Barcelona. Praise God. There's nothing like that. But because I know the word. If you want to go into business, my brother, come. I will pray for you and you will do well. But that's not the calling of God upon your life. You can just be there and God will have you to impact one or two people in that area. But that does not mean that's what God has called you to do for life. Calm down. The calling of God is actually that you should evangelize. Okay? But it doesn't start from doing your business. So when you know the word of God about some things, before you even start praying about divine leading, you know what to do exactly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This applies to every other thing. So I said the word of God and the character of God shows you what the leading of God is not. Let me just talk about 2-3 things, or 4-5 things about what the leading of God is not. Number one, the leading of God is not your conscience. We don't follow our conscience. Remember I taught you on how to keep your conscience sane. How to have a sane conscience. If I wanted to get that message. How to have a sane conscience. It's here. After the message, the meeting, just meet Bro Evans, tell him, he'll give you the message. How to have a sane conscience. How to keep your conscience sane. Because the leading of God, you know why the leading of God cannot be your conscience? The conscience, listen carefully, because people normally say, just follow your conscience. Whatever your conscience tells you to do, you do it. That can be a good advice. But that can be a terrible advice too. Why? The Greek word for conscience is synaesthesis. It means to be made aware. So, the conscience develops by anything it is exposed to. Remember I explained this to you. The conscience does not just develop. It is what it is. Let me give an example. That example I gave that day. Remember? I told you that there is a girl, a young girl, she grew up abroad. Just listen to the story. Why you cannot follow your conscience and say, I can know the will of God by following my conscience? She grew up abroad. And then, you know, and I met her. She was a small girl, 2 years straight. She wanted me to mentor her and all that. So I was doing the best I could. And so one day, I was in school. I came back from school. I just came back. And she was around. Her mom was there. Everybody. And she just saw me. She was so excited. She said, "Brody." She now came, jumped on me, and landed a peck. Bam. You get the point? I was destabilized for the next 5 minutes. I looked up, but her mom was looking. So she just pecked me, pecked this person, pecked this person. I said, "Wow." You know, she was doing it with a clear conscience, Prophet. It was not bad as far as she was concerned. But do you know that if a Nigerian girl, even if she brings her mouth close to you, she will go for confession? Which of them is wrong? It's about conscience. And so why will this person, my point is, you can see something as bad, another person can see it as a good thing. It doesn't make it good or bad. So your conscience responds to what it's exposed to. So you cannot trust your conscience to lead you. How many of you understand what I explain now? I give another example with this same thing, this same kind of thing. I had another experience. This girl met me, and I was talking to her about morality, you know, keeping yourself, don't try to mess up. She said, "Sir, you don't have to teach me that. I already know. You know, my mom taught me, I was happy." She said, "My mom taught you from when I was growing up." He said, "My mom told me that we don't do anything with any guy except you love the guy." She told me, my mom taught me that if you love the guy, don't let the guy sleep with you. But when it comes to anything like every other thing that is not saying, you know every other thing now. She said, "My mom, you don't know." You're spiritual. She said, "My mom taught me that it's not wrong. And from childhood, she does it without anything." Do you get the point? She doesn't feel anything. Does that make it right? It doesn't make it right. But if she was to follow her conscience is clear. That's what I said. So you cannot say, "I'm being led by my conscience." No, you cannot do that. Because your conscience can mislead you. Can mislead you. That's why the Bible teaches that there are some people that have a weak conscience. Remember I was explaining that. Get that message if you can. Some have a weak conscience. Others have a reprobate conscience. Some people have a very sensitive conscience, such that any small thing gets to them. I know someone that met me when I was in school. And she was crying, or he was crying that God should forgive him. I said, "What did you do?" He said he went to watch football. You get the point? And so that God should forgive him. That he promised God he will not watch football again. And see the problem, when he was now coming back, a bottle entered his leg. He said, I know it's God. And as far as his conscience is concerned, he has sinned. I think you get the point. Your conscience is not where the leading of God is. You don't discard your conscience entirely anyway. Okay? But you can only follow your conscience when it has been trained by the word of God. You get the point? When your conscience has been affected and trained by the word of God, you can now say, "Okay, I'm following my conscience." But you cannot find the leading of God in your conscience. Good is, so you cannot trust your conscience to know what God wants you to do. Okay? Now, another thing you cannot follow. So the leading of God, number one, is not your conscience. I think that's very clear, right? You cannot trust your conscience. You cannot say, "How did you do it? My conscience did not just allow me." No. Some have a sensitive conscience. And I don't have that kind of conscience. My kind of person. I told you the story on that day. This woman came to me to beg me for money. You remember? I was in a bus. So she just came to beg me for money. She said, "Biko." I said, "Oh, madam, we don't have." She looked at me. She said, "How can you say you don't have?" I said, "You don't have." She said, "You will never have." What? Bet me, it's people like you. She was insulting, I think you were there. She was insulting me for more than 10 minutes. You will see. Bet me if you will have. If people like you, if they give you this country, you will ruin this country. And some of you would have thought I was saying, God forbid. I don't even shake. So, such things cannot enter me. Do you get the point? My conscience is not that weak. It didn't even cross my mind. You will never have. You will see. She wanted to trip me. Normal thing would have. She would talk and talk and not bring a man and give her. I said, "Madam, I don't have." If you like, talk from now to tomorrow. I will not give you. She started talking that are coming from the church. They've been in the church praying that what they do is every evening they come out to look for people of God that will bless, support them. I say, see, forget. Now, if I was a person, you know, but if this is two different people, me now, it don't get me. You know why? There's nothing you say to me, it doesn't enter. It's when it enters, you remember last Sunday? It's when it enters first that I will not start taking credit on, but it does not even enter. But some other person is sensitive conscience, I've started saying, hey, who knows whether God just wants me to give this woman money so that my door will open. Forget it. Hallelujah. So it's not your conscience. Second thing, the leading of God is not circumstances. You cannot use circumstance to know what God is saying. Because that's the part many of us are doing. We are treating the leading of God like, if it is this, then it is this. Circumstances. Some people say, how do you know God is leading you to do this? He said, I just went there and he began to succeed. You cannot use success or failure to know whether God is leading you or not. This is the part many believers have a problem with. You think if God is leading you, it must succeed. If God is not leading you, it will fail. You know it's not true. There are many people doing fraudulent businesses today. I'm sure it's not God that led them to those things, but they are succeeding. I don't get the point. You cannot say, I know God wants me to do this, because immediately I came, I tried it, he started succeeding. It's not true. You cannot also say that God is not leading me to do this because he's failing. No. I told you a story, remember? In Judges chapter 20, listen to this story. The 11 tribes of Israel came to fight against one tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. Just this will teach you a lot. And the tribe of Benjamin, we are wrong. What did they do? They did something against the Lord. So the 11 tribe of Israel wrote to them. I was like, let us come and seek the Lord. He said they don't want. So they went out to fight against them. And so the 11 tribes, who were obviously bigger in number, is that correct? Now prayed to God. And the Lord told them, don't worry. Go. You will win. And they went for the battle and they lost. You remember this story, right? They came back. And they asked, but the Lord told them, go, you will win. They asked the Lord, who will go first? And the Lord said, let Judah go first. So they obeyed everything, they went and they lost. They came back again. They prayed, say, Father, should we go? God said, go. Are we going to win? Yes. They went, they lost. Get the point. They went, it happened 3 times. Then I came back again and asked the Lord, Father, should we go? God said, go. The instruction will not change. The answer to that, what later happened was that they went, the mistake they made, they were going without any strategy. Remember, I taught you from this one day. The day they now finally won, when the Lord now going, they came up with an idea. They said, our weak soldiers will push them front, the strong ones will keep them in the push. And so when they got into the land of that city, the Benjaminites came out and began to pursue them. I didn't get the point. And as the weak soldiers started running, the strong soldiers now came out and followed from behind. You get the point? And the other one, they just planned a very smooth battle strategy and they won. So they were not losing because God did not say. Do you get what I'm saying? You cannot use win or lose. In fact, there are many things people do on earth without God and are succeeding. In fact, you can follow the leading of God and it will end you up on the cross. Jesus followed God's leading. He was crucified. Following the Lord. Do you get it now? So if Jesus was saying, if it is God, then it has to be good, he will not go to the cross. Are you getting the point? And so you cannot use circumstance. Another thing, okay, let me talk about it. Another thing you cannot use to know the will of God is what we call fleece. Please, I want to correct this one. F-L-E-E-C-E. We call it fleece. You know what is fleece? Huh? Let me give an example. Okay, have you heard of casting lots? To cast lots. He said we are going to write A, B, and C. Anyone we pick, we know that's what God wants. That's nonsense. You will kill yourself one day. You cannot use such a thing. He said, Lord, as I step out, if this happens, then that means this is your will. Don't use that kind of thing. The devil will kill you. I told you this story, a very funny story. A guy was praying to know what God will have him do. And he said, Father, as I open this Bible, Any place I open, let it be what you want me to do. And so he opened the Bible and his verse fell on and Judas went and hung himself. And he said, no, that cannot be God. He closed it. He opened it again. And the next verse said, go and do thou likewise. You understand? He closed it again. Now he opened it a third time. That verse now said, whatever you want to do, do it quickly. In other words, quickly go and kill yourself. You cannot use such a thing to know what God wants. And that's what they do in some sects, I'm sorry to say. They want to know God's will for maybe a ministry. And then I say, who is going to be our leader? And we are doing tumbon tumbon in church. The leading of God is in your heart. It's not in circumstances. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot use fleece to know. And another thing I want to deal with today, the leading of God is not superstition. You know many people are too superstitious. You know what is superstition? I want to dwell on this a little. You know what's superstition? Those people are just superstitious in their way. What are the common superstitious beliefs? If I hit my left leg. Do you know many people still believe this thing today? In fact, some of you still believe it today. Somehow in your subconscious. Once you hit your left leg, bam, you say, Jesus. That's not the leading of God. Like some of us, once my left eye starts twitching, what does it mean? Something bad is about to happen. If your hand is scratching you, my brother, you're there. It means money is coming. That's not it, too. If I let me tell you, if your left eye, if one of your eyes starts twitching, go and rest. It's stress. How many of you know that? It's simple stress. You cannot use, you know, sometimes something can be coincidental. Once your right hand finishes scratching, somebody not give you money, so I said it. You know, that's this one I heard, that when you wear a cloth, the back of your clothes, what does it mean? Forget it. You've not seen anything. Is it? A green snake, what does it mean? Money too. What? For people should forget all those things. Superstition is not the leading of God. The world can be living. How can you be thinking like that? Yeah, forget about Bible self. Yeah, the 21st century. And I'm going to touch one that will mad many of you. You see, if you are sleeping and something is pressing you, it's witchcraft. Who told you that thing? Huh? Who told you it's witch that is pressing you? You're not quiet. Because I've touched where it matters. Sometimes it can be witch. Sometimes it can be scientific. There's a scientific reason for it. Or you can struggle in your sleep. I get the point. It doesn't always mean that it's witch pressing you. Hello? You better wake up. Don't be superstitious as a person. That's not the leading of God. Paul went into a particular city, told them, he said, I sense that you guys are too superstitious. That place saw the unknown God. He said, you guys are too superstitious. That's not how God wants us to live. Hallelujah. And what this superstition comes with, it comes with fear. Many people are afraid of the devil. That's superstition. That's what the police are afraid of the devil. They're afraid of what will happen. Why is that when your right eye starts twitching, you will not get money? It's when your left eye twitches that you will not get money. Why? Don't be superstitious, my friend. Hallelujah. Now, that's not the leading of God. Then the leading of God also is not natural perception. This is what I want to dwell a little. That's what we call natural perception. It is not bad, but that is not the leading of God. You know what is natural perception? To perceive naturally. For instance, if you see, so you know, let me give you an example of a very simple natural perception. If you see someone frowning his face, the most possible thing is that the person is not happy. That's what you just perceive it naturally. You get the point? The Bible tells us that I think it was Paul, okay? Paul came into that land. He said, "I perceive that you guys are giving to idolatry." How did he perceive it? He saw that there are so many shrines. That's not the leading of God. That is a natural perception. It's not bad. You need it sometimes. You get the point? To perceive people naturally, and most times this natural perception develops from experience. If you're a person that has had too many experiences, you can, for instance, I'll give a perfect example. There's a way a person will be acting without having the Spirit of God. You can sense that something is wrong. I get the point. For instance, most people who are in abusive relations, you know, sometimes I can perceive abusive relationships from just from looking at the person. Whenever people are in a relationship, most times, not at all times anyway, and they're trying to keep it secret, don't tell anybody, don't tell pastor, don't tell, they just be between ourselves. Most times, that relationship, one person is abusing the other. I think you get the point. Most times. Hello? Good point. And so it's natural. But some things you can be wrong too. Sometimes rather you can be wrong. Because things can just be different. So you cannot trust your natural perception. The Bible said that that woman at the well told Jesus, I perceive that you are a prophet. It was not her spiritual. You get the point. That's not spiritual perception. That is spiritual perception. We'll open that next week. How did she perceive? Jesus told her something about herself. She now said, okay, I perceive that you are a prophet. But you cannot trust that natural perception at all times. I hope you know. You can't. It can fail you. It can fail you. Sometimes you can think that some things are like this, only to later find out that it's not really true, they're actually like this. I get the point. There are sometimes you look at people, you now think they have a problem because of how they look. Sometimes they don't. If I let me tell you why natural perception always fail, people can pretend a lot. Hope you know. Somehow people show you what they want you to see. That's why as a pastor, one thing I try to do is never to follow my natural perception in dealing with people. Sometimes when someone is in church, the person starts missing church often. Don't always be natural. One of the things your natural perception will tell you is that this person is not serious again. It's not always true. You get the point? Sometimes the person is serious, there could be more. I don't get the point. So you don't follow your natural, if in dealing with the reason of God, you don't just follow what you sense. I just sense that it may be this. You might be wrong. People can pretend. People can show you what they want you to see. In fact, most times, some of the most smiling people are not happy. Hope you know it's true. People that smile a lot. And I had a fun experience on Facebook the other day. That this people I see on Facebook, if you see these people, they look very happy. You know, all the people that come and post self-crush. The day she chatted me up and began to talk to me, he said, I'm a bitter person. She said she was contemplating suicide. That was the case. You can never perceive it from her Facebook wall. As a matter of fact, most people that do self-crush in love with myself, they have low self-esteem. I'm not saying everybody, most times. But you know what I'm saying? It's true. Most times. Every time people say, just like that joke, people normally cry, but it's true. When people suffer a heartbreak, they turn to motivational speakers. Don't let any guy take you for granted. Be yourself. Ladies, know your worth. Oga, calm down. They've broken your heart. Just heal. But if you want to judge by natural perception, you can assume that some things are what they are not. I don't know what I'm talking about. You cannot assume. So you cannot, especially in dealing with people. Because some of you, that's how you get into trouble. I'm hammering because that's how you get into trouble. You meet some people to sign a deal. Naturally, the deal may look very clear and very smooth and very good. And the man is even a trustworthy man. Don't follow that thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't always follow it. Most people have been hurt by people they trusted the most. In fact, hurt pain because it's somebody you trusted that did it. If someone you do not trust that did it, you will not feel hurt. So you cannot follow people naturally. You can't. Even as if you're a mentor to someone, if you're a pastor, you have to listen to me carefully. Because even though that when some people come to church and are very serious, I'm just looking at them. Don't judge with what you can see. Some are just serious. They're looking for something. People can pretend. So don't judge people naturally. That's why many people get cheated. They get duped at all times because they work with their natural perception. You get the point? Somebody calls you and says this, that. That's why I tell you, next week I'll open it up. Before you close any deal, before you go into anything, listen to the thing in your heart. Don't go by natural whatever. So, this is looking very good. It's not always what it looks. Get me? Natural person, people can pretend. People can pretend. That's something like people can pretend. Don't just perceive naturally. People can pretend. People can make you think that this is like this. That's why as a pastor, I look at people. You know, I was telling them in at Abuani this morning. There was a guy came to church to preach. You know, after I was teaching on strife and bitterness. I came to church to preach. I was standing on stage. I could sense strongly in my spirit man that there was strife in the house. There was somebody that was angry, not just angry, but was angry with the entire church. And the person was there. So naturally, I started to use my perception, you know. I started looking, let me see who is frowning. That day, everybody was happy. Everybody was laughing. I can crack joke, you know. And when I crack joke, everybody will laugh. They were even jotting. I was like, what is God saying? But I could sense it strongly. If I had gone by my natural perception, just to look for someone that's frowning in his face and say, are you angry with us? And so I tried using this after service. You know, my normal way, I started greeting people. How are you? I wanted to know, you know, judging natural. A lot of them were smiling. How are you, Pastor? Fine. Are you sure you are fine? Awesome. And so what I did was I kept in my mind, I went to him after service that day. I just prayed. And when I prayed, I saw by the Spirit. I saw, this is it. I said, wow. And so I called him. I said, how are you? He still said, awesome, I'm great. I said, I'm not great. I said, are you angry? I just talk. The kind of things that this guy uttered. I get the point. The kind of things he said. I was like, wow. He was like, forget all these things we are doing. We are claiming we are church people. I said, are you serious? And you were in church that day, smiling. So you don't walk by your natural perception. Who is learning something today? Don't walk by it. But you don't discard it entirely. It can help in some things. But don't discard it entirely. Sometimes it helps even in church. You get the point? Sometimes you are in church now. Someone around you may not have tea fair. I may have to help the person. Sometimes you can just perceive it naturally. You have to perceive it naturally. When they finish church and we are all going out there. And everybody is entering their car or boarding a cab. And one person is saying, okay, now you guys will take care. And you know this guy is living far around Gariki. And he's saying, take care. He just perceived naturally, okay, he doesn't have to fear. He said, come on, enter, let's pray for you. You get the point? So you don't discard it entirely. You don't. But you cannot trust on it. Because sometimes you might also try to follow it. And the guy, actually, he doesn't want to trek. He just wants to enter Genesis. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So you don't follow it. But you don't discard it. Then finally, I'm going to say, the leading of God is not negative emotions. It's not fear. It's not guilt. People normally say, I wanted to do that thing, but I was scared. I just knew that God did not want me to do it. It's not always true. People say, what of peace? I follow the peace in my heart. I will talk about peace next week. You cannot just follow the peace in your heart at all times. Because just like I explained to you, you know when you love someone so much, whether he's a believer or not, you will just feel peace. There is a place for using peace to know the will of God. But I will show you next week. The leadings of God are not negative. It is not fear. You cannot say, well, just feeling scared. Most times, in fact, whenever I sense fear, then God is not there. You cannot use fear or worry to know. So I wanted to do it, but I was just worried. So, until I was worried, I just said, let me just leave it. No. Because sometimes worry can be of the devil. At some other times, it could just not be of the devil. You know that it's natural. If I let me tell you something. Fear can be of God. You can be afraid of something and then God doesn't want to do it. You can also be afraid of something and God wants you to do it. For instance, if you're here and you've ever pioneered a big vision before, you always be scared before you start. True or false? If you ever started a big business before, you get the point? Or a company. Or you want to start a church or something, there will always be fear. Who knows what I'm talking about here? That fear does not mean that God is saying no. It doesn't also mean that God is saying yes. In fact, if you have a vision that you are not afraid of, you've not started. If you have a vision that scares you. On 7th of July, I'll be teaching us on something. But I'm going to push some of us, I'm going to push some of us to dream big. If you have visions that scare you. So when, because there is fear in your heart, does not mean that it's not God. I don't get the point. And it doesn't also mean that it is God. You cannot use those things to know. Like when I wanted to start pastoring, I was so scared. Next week, I'm going to show you how I came to realize that this was what God wanted me to do. I get to the point. I was so scared. Because I tell you, if you want to start anything new, you'll be scared. Even as small as going to get a shop at Obete, you'll be scared. What are the fears? What if it doesn't sell? There are many people doing this business. What if they don't come to my shop? What if I don't make the rent? Especially when you've taken a loan to start a business. What have I taken a loan here before? Big loan. 500,000 to start something. Your heart will just be beating. It doesn't mean God is saying yes. It doesn't mean God is saying no. It just means that you are afraid as a human being. You get the point? You cannot also say, I was just so worried, so I knew that it wasn't God. No. No. That is worry that is just there. That is just there. It doesn't mean that God wants you to do it or not. You can also use guilt. Because most people, they follow guilt, they don't follow God. They follow what the voice of their conscience says. Because you feel so guilty. Like many people now feel that God does not want them to do ministry again or to serve him because they made one mistake. My brother, it is guilt talking to you, it's not God. Let me get the point. It's not emotions, it's not negative emotions. If you had known the character of God, you will know that even after Peter denied him 3 times, he still says, send for Peter. Are you getting me? It's not guilt, it's not fear, it's not worry. So don't give in to fear. Don't give in to worry. And don't use it to determine whether God is leading you or not. Don't use it. Don't use it to say, okay, immediately I got scared. I just knew it was not God. No, it's not always true. You know that it's natural fear. Help me know. Natural fear. Like I normally say, if they shoot a gun close to your ear, you go fear. I get the point. There's natural fear. Next week we're going to open up on guidance properly. But you cannot use fear. You cannot use all these things to know. Get the point. That you notice something. When they came to kill Jesus, when he was a baby, what did God tell Joseph and Mary? Run. You know, he is the Almighty God. He would have told them, don't worry, stay. I'll give my angels charge over you. So there are some times God will tell you, run. There are some other times he will tell you, stand, I'll protect you. You cannot use fear to decide these two things. I don't get the point. That's why he will tell you, okay, run, just escape. So Joseph and Mary carried the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they were running. You know, the Archbishop of Benson, that also said something. There was a particular day. That robbers came to his house. So the wife woke him up and said, there are thieves. And so he came out and, you know, that Archbishop, very bold guy. He told them and said, well, do you know where you've come? Rebuke them and they ran. Bold guy. The next, another day, the wife woke him up and said, they have come. The guy took the backyard and ran. And so the wife asked him, the last time you faced them, now you're running. He said, when the Lord says run, don't stand. You know that, but you can, my point is that you can, if you respond to fear, it's not about fear. I get the point. It's not about whether you're afraid or not. There is a leading of God in your heart. It cannot be known by circumstances. It cannot be known by fear. It cannot be known by superstition. There's a way to know it. And I want to tell you today, that leading of God is your spirit. So when there is something happening, don't look outside. Just look within. That leading is there. Don't look at the twitching of your eyes. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at whether it's good or whether it's bad. Just look within. That leading of God is in there. So don't be scared of missing it. Be confident. We are guided by the Father. And He guides us from within. So when others are busy looking around, trying to make that decision, there's a leading of God in your heart. And I will teach you from next week how to follow that leading. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Let's be on our feet, friends. There's a leading of God in my heart. I am guided by the Father. I don't make mistakes. And so I don't look outside. I don't look at circumstances. I don't look at my conscience. I'm not superstitious. I don't follow this naturally. I just look within. For that leading of God is in my heart. And I know what to do at every point in time. Hallelujah. Now sometimes I know what to do. At every point in time I know the next step to take. I'm not looking outside. I will not cast lots. I will not do tumbum tumbum. I will not pick this or pick that. The leading is in my heart. So when others are looking outside, I'm looking inside. Are you listening to me? I'm looking within. There's a leading of God there. And so all your confusions are gone. Are you getting me? They're gone. So just look within. There is a leading in your heart. Before I even explain what it is, as you're looking inside now, some of you are beginning to see what you have to do over some circumstances, over some issues. You're already seeing what you have to do. That leading is right there in your heart. So don't follow another thing but it. Don't look at whether it's good or whether it's bad. Don't look at circumstances. Don't be superstitious in your thinking. Don't be natural in your perception. Just look within. For right in your heart, says the Lord, is that I have put my word there, I've put my spirit there. And at every point in time, you will not be confused. You will know what to do. For I've given a kishapa rade lukosia, for you have the light of life. And you follow that light and you will never walk in darkness. And therefore, every confusion is lifted from your path. And as you take at every step, he will order your footsteps. For says the Lord, you are the righteous. And he orders the footsteps of the righteous. Therefore, confusions are lifted from your path. You are properly guided. Pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Let me tell you what to do. Look up. We're going to pray for like 5 to 10 minutes. Let me tell you what to do. If you know that there's any situation you need a leading towards, just close your eyes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Just have that situation in your heart. Don't mention it. Just pray in the Holy Ghost towards it. You will see the way now. Open your mouth and pray wherever you are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.